Heavenly Father, once again, we come before you, acknowledging that we need you, we are dependent upon your Holy Spirit. And Heavenly Father, we just ask for the release of your word and the release of the Spirit this morning. Lord, that you would both speak to us and through us. For this, we will give you all the glory in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. This morning, I want to... are you picking me up? Okay. This morning, I want to speak again. My topic this morning is the tree of life. You know, we've dealt with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We've spoken at some length on that. But now I want to deal with the tree of life. What is it? How do we recognize the tree of life? So let me start by simply reading that. Thank you for the new piece of chalk. The tree of life. Now, we have talked about the fact that we have all taken and we all have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that is the world and everything around about us. That is the understanding. The understanding of the world comes through that knowledge of that tree. But here we have a different tree. As contradistinct to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we have the tree of life. And what is its nature? How do we begin to come to an understanding of this tree? What I would like to propose here is I want to talk about two things. Christ abiding in us and us abiding in Christ. I mean, we started with a tremendous scripture that Jay read this morning of the Christian life. What is the Christian life? How do we come to understand this and live it out? How does this come into living reality? My approach on all this sort of thing. Let me lay a little bit of a background here. Years ago, when I was a young man, before I was married, I started all sorts of things, and I was getting into thinking on theology and all this, and plowed into all various ideas, and there were many, many different ideas and thoughts out there which I waded through. And as I read all these things, they were all good people, all had many ideas, and so, but they didn't all agree. What is all going on here? And as I was thinking about those things, it became apparent to me that there is no measure. It's all in the metaphysical, all in the thinking world, isn't it? What is the measure of those things? And so as I looked around, I began to say, okay, this is what this person says. Let me see how they live and see whether they can live what they're saying. And that's where that saying that Paul likes is, you say what you think, but you live what you believe. That's where that came. I began to understand that I could listen to anything that anybody says, But the proving idea, the proving ground of all we believe is, can we live it? And, you know, we have all lived the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when we come to the tree of life, you know, it has fruit, doesn't it? You know, we have the fruit of the Spirit. It has tangible evidences. Yes, thank you, darling. There are tangible evidences to this tree of life. So when we come to the tree of life, I would like to say here that there are two things that I'd like to speak about. There is us abiding in Christ, and there is Christ abiding in us. And so let's have a look at Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, where it says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Let's have here we want to speak a little bit about abiding in Christ. Here in this scripture, it says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Now, I wonder how, what portion of our, what does it mean that we are hidden with Christ in God? The hidden life. What is that hidden, you know, what is hidden there? Where is it hidden? It says in the scripture, "Set your minds on things above, not on things on earth," doesn't it? So if there's something to be hidden, it's got to be hidden in the heavenlies, hasn't it? Whatever is hidden. How about that we as believers have a hidden life in the heavenlies? Don't we? There is a source for our life. We are hidden with Christ in God. When the Heavenly Father, when God Almighty looks down, He doesn't see a bunch of individuals. He sees Christ. And beyond that, we are hidden in Christ. You know, much is said about the body of Christ, which is us. As far as I can tell from reading the Word, there is not a tremendous place for individuality and us and God. You know, we are hidden with Christ in God. It's a corporate, it is a we. We together are hidden. Set your minds on things above. There is a nature to this. We, in Romans, it speaks about the renewing of the mind, doesn't it? Also, but here we are. We, in order to separate ourselves from the tree of life, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and unto the tree of life. How do we get there? We have to, but you can die. I mean, there's lots of people in the tree of life that will die. They'll all die. Everyone. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life. You have to be born again. There is a birth here, isn't there? The only way we get to eat from the tree of life is because we are born again. His spirit is placed within our spirit, isn't it? We have God's Holy Spirit. So we abide in Christ. And then Christ abides in us. You know, we abide in Christ unto God, and Christ abides in us unto the world. We abide in Christ unto God, and Christ abides in us unto the world. Okay? So, we say what we think, but we live what we believe, don't we? We have the life of Christ in us. We are born again, and His Spirit dwells within us. But it is the purpose of God that the life of our Lord Jesus Christ flows into the world, isn't it? That's what He desires. So, if we were to turn to Colossians, the first Colossians in 1:27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here we have, now, if I was to come back to the knowledge of good and evil, you know, we have all sorts of things there. If I was to put anything there, you know, there is beauty there, isn't there? But there's no glory there. But here, in the tree of life, there is glory. There is the hope of glory. There, our Lord Jesus, He was risen, ascended, and glorified. And for the life of the believer, the hope of glory is in Christ, isn't it? It's not in us. So we abide in Christ, which is to His glory. Now, having said that, what is the expression of the tree of life in the believer? As I was thinking on this, it struck me that there is freedom, isn't there? There's freedom for the believer. Now, the tree of life has the tree of the knowledge of good and evil doesn't have too much freedom because everything has to balance out, doesn't it? Yeah, when we come to the tree of life, there is freedom in Jesus Christ for the believers. If we look at Romans. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And so the mark in the life of the believer should be a freedom. You know, we shouldn't be in bondage, should we? Now, when we know that it tells us in the Word, that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit comes and resides in our spirit. Also says, if it doesn't, you're not. I mean, it's just as plain, you know, it's as plain as that. So we know here that the Holy Spirit is in our spirit. But somehow, it doesn't always flow out, does it? In the measure, does it? We look and we see, we can say, we've been born again, we have eternal salvation, you know, whatever. We can make all sorts of claims. But does the world see it? Is it expressed in the world? That's an important thing. And the desire of the believer is that the life of the Lord Jesus should be lived out. The desire of our Lord Jesus is that his life is lived out of his saints, isn't it? So if we have our spirit and our soul again, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our spirit. And then we have this whole realm of the soul here, don't we? And the soul, of course, is the mind and the will and the emotion, isn't it? And we can have the Holy Spirit in here, but it takes the work of the Lord Jesus that his spirit can flow out to the world, doesn't it? We can't go on a self-improvement class. Why not? Because there's nothing really to... zero plus zero equals zero. There's nothing really to improve, is there? You know, no matter how good we feel about ourselves, there's not a whole lot to improve. Self-improvement would be kind of doing that, trying to... You know, we're taking something we learn, something we see, and we're trying to recreate it. This is not the Christian life. The Christian life is that life from within flowing out. It's not our life. It's not our life. It is the life of the Lord Jesus from within. Now... In 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So here we are. In Christ, we shall all be made alive. There is a spiritual life. It also tells us we are a new creature in Christ, doesn't it? These are things, if we look from the perspective of earth, we can say, well, there's a lot of work to do. But if we look from the perspective of heaven at us, let me illustrate what I'm trying to say here. Here's us. We're always going somewhere, aren't we? So here we are. There's us as a person. When God sees us, he's too big to get on the board, so I'll just draw his eye. He looks, doesn't he? What does he see? He sees Christ. Doesn't he? His perspective is radically different to our what we think. If we think about ourselves, we think of ourselves here, don't we? We think we see the struggles of life and everything. But when God looks at us, he sees his son. Doesn't he? And then he sees us with the life of his son, the attributes of his son. And then beyond that, he sees his son in this world. And here we are, because we are the expression of Jesus to this world. Now, as far as theology, a lot of people will say, well, God can do anything. Why doesn't he just do it? That's a common sort of thing. Why didn't he fix everything? Why doesn't he fix everything? Because he has chosen that through his son. You know, I would have been with him in the days. I would have blown the whole place up and started again. But that's not what he chose to do, is it? Because he had a purpose for us in his son. Us in the Lord Jesus. And so it tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. His desire is that we as believers grow in Christ. The believer, we talk about being born again, don't we? We are saved. But then there is a growing in the Lord Jesus. Peter speaks about the salvation of your soul, which is an ongoing work, isn't it? And so therefore what I would say is whatever is in Christ from God is for us. Whatever is just of ourselves, now what do we do with that? What are we going to do with self in our picture here? He's got to die. Oh, dear. Now, that's a very ugly thought, isn't it? We just can't imagine letting go of everything we want for the glory and the beauty of Jesus Christ. You know, here we have the resources of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have our little pile of crud over here. And we want it our way, and we want to do this. If this, our who we are, and the world, and everything we have, is bigger in our eyes than Jesus Christ, we need to get a bigger Jesus Christ. Because here, we have one seated in the heavenly places, far above all rulers and principalities and powers, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow on heaven and on earth and under the earth, and a pile of crud. Our worldly ambition, this we could call worldly ambition, couldn't we? Those things that we thought we wanted, worldly ambition. Everything that we thought we kind of like to hang on to from the tree of life, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, excuse me. You know, here we have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with our little bit of stuff on it, you know. And there's, you know, whatever. Here's our little pile, you know. And we have, in contradistinction, the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Is your God big enough this morning? We have a wonderful God. So we find that we choose, don't we? We choose between the world. Love not the world nor the things of this world. Set your minds on things above, not on earth. You know, when we talk about it in the terms, and when we begin to see the order and magnitude of the Lord Jesus, who he is, all he has, what can we say? We looked at the Lord Jesus in Philippians, humbling himself and being obedient, even unto the point of death, didn't we? And therefore, he came in likeness of man. He humbled himself even to the point of death. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. And we say, okay, so what does the Christian life look like? And the answer has to be, it looks like Christ. That's what the Christian life looks like. There is much, this is, you can preach that from the Gospels, you can teach it from the epistles, from Paul, from whoever. But it is seeing Christ and being transformed into his image. Now, in James, I have a little note in my Bible. And Kirk spoke on this, and he had a wonderful, very powerful seed thought. I don't have a date written on it. But in James 1, verse 22, be not doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only. And Kirk developed the thought that the doer equals composer. And so if we were to read this another way, it would say, be composers of the word. Now, we could develop that further, because who is the Word? So be composers of Jesus. Can we compose Jesus in our lives? Somebody else writes the music, but we can. Composers of Jesus in our lives. Now, in the center, we're back to the center, in the Spirit. The Spirit. We could say, and I could argue, that as we are born again, this work is done. It's a completed work, isn't it? When we are born again, was anybody, just in case I'm missing anything and I didn't ask, was anybody instantly perfected at salvation here? Charles? No? Was anybody made perfect? No.
In God's eyes.
From this, in Christ. But we grow, don't we? Maybe then we should say that It's kind of small when we start off, isn't it? The life of the soul in Christ. We grow in Christ, don't we? How do we bring this down to where we can understand it? Let's. I want to come back to the mind. And back to Romans 8. Where it tells us some very practical things. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, things of the Spirit. For the carnal mind is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So as believers, we come to know the Lord. But that carnal mind doesn't disappear instantly, does it? It's there. So what are we going to do? In Romans 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world, verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So we have our mind here, don't we? And if our spirit is over here, but our mind is still on the balance scales, we're still trying to weigh everything out. We're still trying to make everything fair, aren't we? You know, we've got to make the world fair. No, we don't have to make the world fair. Have this mind in you that was also in Christ. So, if that's the mind, when we're talking about renewing the mind, we're talking about having the mind of Christ. Which brings us back to our Philippians passage, doesn't it? You know, what is fair in the economy of God? The very person of Jesus is the standard of all that is fair in the economy of God, isn't he? He was the perfect one who knew no sin and became sin for us. Was that fair? No, that was grossly unfair. That wasn't fair to him, was it? You know, that was Lord Jesus. We didn't even like him. Isn't that the truth? So all of a sudden it brings us down from weighing everything into the scale to the person of Jesus Christ. I'll give this to you as a thought. What the Heavenly Father sees in us, which is in Christ, is eternal. Anything that he sees or that is in us that he does not see in Christ is temporal. So this brings some weight, doesn't there, to what we see. You know, there is a need. It's not as something of no account. The Lord has an inheritance in his people, doesn't he? He has an inheritance in us. He desires to see that inheritance fulfilled. He desires to see that carried into glory with us. We, with unveiled faces, reflecting the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Father. There is a transformation. We don't see ourselves as being very glorious a lot of the time, do we? But he's transforming us from glory to glory. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to change us. Now, in regards to the mind, it tells us, doesn't it, set our minds on things above, not on things on earth. So here we have maybe a little bit. Here we are, we're abiding in Christ. As far as Christ is in us, we have his Spirit. Abiding in Christ, though, does the carnal mind abide in Christ? No, it doesn't, does it? That's not recognized by him. You know, as much as we might love soap operas, football games, car racing, and all the rest of it, it's not going to make it into eternity. That belongs in the temporal, doesn't it? It's the world. And he tells us to set our minds on things above, doesn't it? Now, I'm not panning that stuff as being evil by any means. I'm just using it as you know, where our treasure is, there is our heart. If our treasure is in those things, then our mind can't be in heavenly places, can it? It can't be set above. And so therefore, us abiding in Christ. You know, when we abide in Christ, what does it mean then? Obviously, if we're going to abide in Christ, we're going to set our mind on things above and not on the things of the earth, aren't we? We're going to be looking above, not to the earth. We're not looking at the next best career move or whatever. We're looking at our Heavenly Father. Now, when we're going to abide in Christ, he's got to be sovereign, hasn't he? The lordship of Christ comes here, doesn't it? You know, I've heard it said that but Lord don't go together. He's either Lord or he's not Lord. He's not but this or but that. If we're doing the but Lord, we're over here and he's over here. We're still weighing things, aren't we? We can't get there. We're abiding in Christ. Now, you know, having said this, if we then say, for us to abide in Christ, that takes away some of our worldly props, doesn't it? And when we're abiding in Christ, you know, the chapter that Jay read at the beginning of the service, feed your enemies and all sorts of things. How do we get there from here? Well, if we're going to do that, there's an element in this, isn't there? Here we go. We have some faith. We have to have faith in him, don't we, to abide in Christ. He's placed his Spirit within in our spirit. But when we're talking about abiding in Christ, we're talking about the whole man. We're talking about the body, soul, and spirit. Abiding in Christ Jesus. And then, if in the eyes of the world, the scales, or we look at it and we say, well, the Lord says this, and these scales are not going to balance out. What's the balancing point on that? Our faith in God makes the difference. Because It's everything as God sees it. Our faith in God, faith is a very active thing, isn't it? You know, it has to, you know, I looked and faith is an active part of what we believe. We live what we believe. Without faith, it becomes impossible to live what we believe. We have to have a living faith. We as Christians have to have a living faith in a living God in order that we can abide in Christ. We have to see him. We have to understand. We have to trust him. We have to accept his interpretation of us. You know? Isn't that a, you know, he says we're salt. We're salt. He says we're light. We're light. He says we're forgiven. Guess what? We're forgiven. Isn't that a glorious thought? He doesn't hold anything against us. There is no condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Is there? If there's condemnation, somebody else might have us worried about a set of scales down here. Now there might be conviction because the Lord, we're being conformed into his likeness, isn't it? Aren't we? So therefore, conviction is a different thing. Conviction is the Lord saying, I think you need to change this. And we change. Because his Lord. Isn't that the truth? Because we want to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So, in as far as we are transformed, he is transforming us from glory to glory. It is his grace. It is by faith. He's transforming us. Can we trust him to do that? How do we know we can trust him to do that? He's trustworthy. Yeah, he's trustworthy and he's told us. He does not have any flaws in his character. He's not fickle. He doesn't get upset. Never once have I managed to shock him so much that he's fallen off the throne. He's God. There's nothing. All he wants is our best. He wants our best, doesn't he? He's not interested in making us miserable. He sees those things that make us miserable, and he wants to take those away and give us his Son, perfect us. And so, if we have the carnal mind here, we can labor with the carnal mind, can't we? And we can pull a hard and labored existence with the carnal mind. But the carnal mind is enmity against him, so there will be a conflict between what is us and the way Christ sees us, you know, and there will not be integrity between the soul and the spirit. There will be a war within us. Now, Paul has the old man and the new man, doesn't he? You know, and they wrestle against each other, don't they? So there is a wrestling within us that goes on, isn't it? My advice is give up quick. because if we are dealing with the altogether perfect one who only ever wants our best and knows what it is, he not only wants our best, but he's smarter than we are, isn't he? Because he sees everything. I mean, a little bit of infinite knowledge helps no end, doesn't it? He sees the whole thing. We see a little fragment, and we can labor and we can struggle. But set your mind on things above, begin seeing his perspective, begin seeing things as our Heavenly Father sees them. Look at his Son, and we will be transformed into his likeness, won't we? He that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. So we're not on a hit and miss course here. The only difference is being yielded or not being yielded to our Lord Jesus. The only opportunity we have of missing what God has for us is by not being yielded and holding on to those things that will ultimately desperately hurt us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will lift our minds above the temporal things and set our minds in heavenly places with you. Yes, Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help us for our hearts to grab hold of the understanding that everything you do is perfect and everything you want is best. Yes. That we might not labor with carnality and the carnal mind, but Heavenly Father, that we will be glad to relinquish those things to the honor of your glory, we pray. For this we give you all the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.